thought someone went so earlier.
Welcome to another episode of the Child Care Bar and Grill Podcast. I'm Jeff Johnson coming to you live from upstairs studios with Lisa Murphy.
Hello.
And Tasha Johnson.
Aloha.
And Viking Lisa.
Viking Lisa. Lisa. You look like kick-ass country girl,
you're
Lisa.
Hayden.
I don't look like a Viking.
the cowgirl hat.
The cowgirl hat and flower. And not flower.
And the flip-flops.
Yes.
Not a lot of cowgirls wear flip flops.
She should be on the beach. Kay will be so proud of me.
Kind of a manure thing.
Hey, Kay.
And so today we are talking about unions, and frankly, not something any of us know a lot of.
Yeah.
But that's why, through the magic of modern technology, we're going to bring in an expert. So let's call her up. Telephone. Don't do that. Oh my gosh! Pay attention, Jeff.
So how Jesus. Are you, Tasha?
I am doing wonderful.
How are you, Lisa?
Okay, fantastic.
Okay.
Great.
The magic of modern technology.
The magic of knowing how to use modern technology.
Oh, hey, it's ringing.
Hello.
Hello. How are you, Elsa?
I am fabulous. How are you, Jeff?
I'm great. We're recording you live, but you already know that. And you're here. You're going to be our expert.
Excellent.
You can add it to your resume.
And you know what? I know you'll do your best. That's why I thought you'd be the perfect person to talk to for this. We are talking, I don't know why we're getting feed. We are talking about unions, and Lisa and I, and Tasha, don't have a whole lot of union-y experience, and we were hoping that you could talk to us. Because Lisa, I mean, it wasn't a thing when you were running your programs, really, when you were doing family child care.
It was just starting to come about, and you started to hear buzzes about unionizing, and mostly family child care, not so much in the center base, but mostly family.
And in our program, my only experience with unions was, hey, I'm open-minded, and then we are headed outside to play one day, and I've told you the story. We're headed outside to play, and this woman shows up, and she's not really pleasant looking, and she starts talking to me about the benefits of unionizing my early learning, my family child care program, and I told her, you know, I'm not really thinking that's going to be the right choice for us, and she scolds me and tells me I need to educate myself about my profession. And at the time, my third book was coming out or something, and I'm speaking nationally, and I'm on the board of the Iowa AEYC, and I thought I knew what was going on, but this union worker—
Clearly you didn't.
I found out she was a union worker from Ohio, an auto plant worker, brought in to do canvassing or whatever, and so that kind of soured me on unions. And I've never seen anything to bring me the other way. And now I know there are people out there in the listening audience that may be involved in the unions and may have positive experiences. And we're happy future episode to bring somebody with that position on. And so all you got to do is contact us on Facebook at the Child Care and Bar and Grill page. And so with that said, Elsa, talk to us about unions.
So I am a home child care provider in Vermont. And about 3 years ago, somebody showed up at my door, kind of the same way they did with you, Jeff.
I wonder if it was the same one.
Probably.
That'd be hilarious.
Do you have a picture? Do you have a picture?
Told me, you know, that they were looking into unionizing home providers in Vermont, and it would be this amazing thing. We might be eligible for health benefits. It would increase our rate of pay. And I was apprehensive. I said I would like more information on the subject. And that was that. Fast forward 6 months or so, and there's a bill at the Vermont State House, and some meetings are being set up with some of the centers and some of the other home providers in the area to talk about this bill and to talk about why this group of people are opposed to the bill. I attended the meeting, and it really, all the reasons that the providers and the centers are opposed to the bill resonated with me. And I decided to take a stand. And in the past 3 years, I've worked to create a coalition in Vermont that's working against unionization. We have 225 home providers, which is pretty good out of 1,000 providers across the state.
Yeah.
Yes, that is.
That have signed on. And we have testified, we have done petitions, we have done media days. We've done a lot of hard work in the past 3 years to defeat the bill. This legislative period, the bill has passed through one of the Senate Education Committees. So we are quickly being put into full swing right now.
To go do it all over again.
To do it all over again.
And wow. And so that brings up all kinds of questions for me. First, what about the whole unionization thing made you uncomfortable with it?
Great question. So the first thing I always like to say is that I am actually not typically against unions. My husband's for the state of Vermont, and he is in a union, and we're happy that he has that protection. The union has helped negotiate pay raises for him. They've worked hard to maintain health benefits costs at the same price. So, you know, I think unions can be great if it's the right place and the right time. What I don't like about it for home providers is that we are all independent contractors. Mm-hmm. We all run our businesses very differently. We all have different things that we stand for. And say that they can increase a provider's rate of pay. The way that they say they'll do that is by working to increase subsidy reimbursement rates for families. Now, we all know that, let's say in Vermont, if a family receives $100 a week from the state for subsidy, and my rates are $150, I get the extra $50 from the parents. So I'm still getting $150 a week. If the subsidy is increased, that would be great, but that's a parent benefit. Parents have to pay me less. I still, in the end, it's a net loss because I will have to pay union dues.
Yeah.
And do you get to choose? I mean, if the union comes in and you don't want to be a part of the union, do you get to opt out of that, or do they take your dues no matter what?
Well, that's a sticking point in Vermont. Chances are good, no. We do not get to opt out financially. What will happen is you'll have to pay an agency fee, which is about 85 to 90% of a full share fee. Fees are negotiated after a bargaining unit is in place. Hmm. So we have no idea how much fees will be, whether they'll be $300 or $600 a year or $1,000
wow.
a year.
Jeez.
Yeah, you have no
Ouch.
Idea. So, but financially, chances are good, even if you say, I don't want to be a part of this, you'll have to pay the agency fee. The other part that's a really big issue to me is your First Amendment right. Your First Amendment protects your.
Whoa!
Rights
wait! Wait a minute! Wait a minute! Somebody in Vermont talking about First Amendment rights. That's
I know.
That's an oddity. I haven't heard that happen before.
I totally
agree with you. Rock on! Let's hear about it.
All right. So First Amendment, it protects your right to free speech. If the union is enacted through the legislature, the union has the exclusive representation to speak to the state on certain matters, on mm-hmm. certain matters like professional development, subsidy, expenses. That means that if I have any issues related to those three topics, I cannot speak to the powers that be. I need to go through my union rep in order to get an issue dealt with.
So
therefore, they're silencing my individual voice and choosing what they want to speak for. You know, we're all individuals. We all mm-hmm. have our own ideas about what we think is right and what we don't think is right. And I think that this really conflicts with our First Amendment rights to petition our government.
I would tend to agree with you from
Very
from where
well stated,
I'm sitting.
Yes.
And I mean, there's so many things that could go wrong with that.
Yeah. Well, and right now the U.S. Supreme Court is slated to hear a case. I believe in January of this year. That if they vote in our favor would make this point, this would be a moot point. You know, we would say that unions are not constitutional and for home child care providers.
Well, so what court mm-hmm. did you say?
The U.S. Supreme Court.
And so if they ruled that way, how would that affect unions that are already in place in other states?
They would be... I believe they would be null and void.
Yeah, they'd be disbanded. So mm-hmm. I'm wondering what happened somewhere along the way that it's already escalated to be a Supreme Court issue.
Well, there's other states that have fought this battle longer.
Okay.
Michigan and Minnesota have been really fighting hard for many, many years. And I believe through government or from governor decree, a union was put in place. And so some providers decided to sue.
Sweet. Good for them. Yeah. And again, those are some early learning dragon slayers and badass, mm-hmm. the kind of people we like to highlight on the show. And so how's your fight going? Is it a fair fight? Is it a David and Goliath kind of fight? What's happening
is it a dirty
there?
Fight?
Are there knives coming out? Have you ever anybody?
Not yet, but season just started.
It's one thing to think it, it's another to actually do it.
Right.
So what's that fight looking like? Who's your opponent and how are you matched up?
So in Vermont, it's the Home Providers versus the American Federation of Teachers, the AFT. Basically, it's me leading a charge of, it's a grassroots group that we are just, you know, I'm working 50 hours a week doing home child care. I'm mentoring other providers, and I'm fighting the union versus the AFT with hundreds of thousands of dollars and people at the state house, 24/7. So it's definitely a David and versus Goliath kind of fight.
All right, time out for a second. Lisa, I told you she was a badass.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I told you, yeah.
How different is it? I guess I'm asking an honest, like, because I really have no idea. You said AFT, so AFT is who is looking to represent you?
Correct. The AFT is the group that has been pushing legislatively for this bill.
Okay, so would that be the union that if it was, let's say it was all passed, you...
Well,
you...
what happens procedurally is that if the bill is passed, then the labor board puts it to a vote to the universe that is affected by this bill. So all child care providers in Vermont would then get to vote, and we would be given a ballot listing all of the groups that would like to represent us.
Okay, that's my question.
The AFT has been the one that has pushed, it has been the only group that has pushed.
Got it. Which explains why in some states it's the service workers.
Correct.
Okay.
AFT is only pushing in Vermont, I believe, SCME or whatever it is, and SEIU are the other organizations in other states.
And so how did you find yourself in this position?
That's something I ask myself when it's, 11 o'clock at night, I'm writing, letters to the editor. Jeff, I found something that I felt passionate about. And I decided this affected my livelihood. And it was really important for me to take a stand and to let people know how I feel. And in Vermont, we have a small enough state where we can, we have our legislators' home phone numbers and cell phone numbers. We can reach out to them and they'll listen to us, And so I felt like it was important for me to be passionate and to show that I can make a difference. Oh. And I've had to ask questions. I mean, in one of my first meetings, I had asked the question, what's a constituent? I didn't know these things going in.
Oh, that was going to be one of my questions.
Yeah,
I mean, did you, how did you put yourself in the position to be this leader that you've become? Was it something that you had skills in before? Or is it something you had to invest yourself? You had to turn yourself into this new person?
Yeah, absolutely not. I knew nothing about how bills were formed. I'd never been to our state house. I didn't know anything about this process, but what I've learned is that, you have to ask questions. You have to not be afraid to ask what might seem like a stupid question for somebody who speaks the language all the time. And to just say, what does this mean? Well, how can this affect us? And what can I do? I've also partnered with the Greater Burlington YMCA and the Burlington Boys and Girls Club, and they employ a lobbyist and a lawyer on their behalf. And we've become kind of a leadership team. Mm. So they have really helped me to know what I need to do to lead my group of people.
Well, and do they have any resources that they're able to bring to bear on the issue too, or?
Well, not
other than
really.
That, the lawyer and the knowledge.
Yeah, no, that's it. I mean, I have not been paid for any of my work. In fact, I've had to pay quite a bit to do the work I do. I have to hire a sub when I go to the state house to testify.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's I've done postage on my own dime. It's cost me money, but it's something I'm passionate about.
So it's an investment.
I'm okay.
Mm-hmm. And so, first thing, was any of this scary?
Yes.
Is it still scary?
And
it's still scary.
It's still scary. And yet you do it. And
well, you know, these legislators, these people that make our laws, they're just like you and I. You know, they go, they work somewhere different.
Oh my God, I feel so sorry for your state.
I know. I know.
Well, and are most of them, I mean, they just want to, they want good information and they want to hear from different sources and they're open to being persuaded and educated, or some of them just locked in on their position? And
A lot of them are locked in. You know, unions are Democrats are typically for unions and Republicans are typically against unions. And you also have the issue of the AFT funds campaigns. So, you know, you have two kind of, When Democrats are for unions, they hear a union, they're like, oh, great, we're going to do it. And the AFT has a way of wording things and making it seem like they are going to increase our rate of pay and they are going to do all these wonderful things for us.
Yeah, and in Iowa, when it was when the whole thing was going on, the whole campaign, the whole all the canvassing and stuff, when they were bringing the unions in, the lady from the auto worker that showed up to educate me about early learning in my state was promising me within 6 months of bringing in the union, they were going to have free health care for all family child care providers in the state,
and that
I mean, of course, didn't pass my smell test, and now it's been years and. That hasn't happened. And so, yeah, my experience is a lot of empty promises. And again, if there's somebody on the other side of this issue that wants to talk to us in a future episode, mm-hmm. we're completely open to that. But all we can do is go from our own experience on these kind of things. And so is that what you've heard? I mean, I assume that you're connected at least to some extent with providers dealing with this issue in other parts of the country. And is that something that you hear?
Absolutely.
Is these empty promises?
Empty promises, you know, it's we'll do this, we'll do this, we'll do this. We'll increase subsidy rates. Well, truth be told, subsidy increase can be done through legislative appropriation. We don't need a union to enact that. And furthermore, there's only so much money in the budget. They can't make money appear where there's no money.
Well, and also they're like the federal government. They seem to be pretty good at it. But yeah, it's almost magical thinking is what it sounds like.
Right. And they can't just health benefits. They, you know, I set, as we all do, we set how many days off we have per year. We set our sick time. We set our own policies. That's up to us to set.
And most family child care providers I know do this job precisely because they want to own their own business and be the boss.
Make those choices
and be the boss of themselves.
Right. I didn't go into this to be an employee by somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's other options if that's the road you want to go down. And now about your own journey, I get something that's come up with some of the other dragon slayers we've been talking to that we've been interested in hearing about is that tipping point that brought you from, boy, this is kind of pissing me off, this situation, and from that point to the here's what I'm going to do situation. And we talked to Beth in North Dakota who had a very rigorous kind of more academic-y program, and she decided she was going to be play-based, and then she did it. And a couple weeks ago, we talked to Kristen in Michigan who was having problems with a licensor, and after 3 years, she couldn't take it anymore and didn't want her staff to have to deal with it, and so she went 2 steps over that person's head and got the lady reassigned. And so you're another one of those dragon slayers. How was that point where you decided I'm upset about this and then made the decision I'm going to do something about this? What was that like? And maybe,
you know, the point for me was, I was against a union. I testified against it once 2 years ago. And then I kind of thought, you know, Elsa, you really need to educate yourself on both sides of this issue. Set up a meeting with our local networking group, with the AFT, let's get together with them and see what, you know, what am I misunderstanding? What am I not getting? Because some people, of course, do support this, and I'm missing something. So I set up a meeting with the AFT and maybe 4 providers in my area, and it felt very aggressive, the meeting. It felt like there were a lot of kind of mincing of words and saying, you know, smoothing things over to seem like, well, we can do this for you and we might be able to do this for you and the empty promises. And a few lies that were like bald-faced lies that were passed off. And I walked out of the meeting not kind of not having processed all of that, thinking, my gosh, maybe this really is a good thing. Maybe I should be fighting to have a union in Vermont. And then I thought for a while, And I did some fact checking on some of the things they told us and realized that they had lied to us and realized that, you know, a lot of the things that they promised could not happen. And realized that if me, somebody who's pretty educated and likes to figure out both sides of things, if I could be swayed, then how many other people in Vermont are being taken advantage of? You know, and I needed to do something. It wasn't a choice at that point.
Wow.
Yeah.
I told you she was a badass. Mm-hmm. And so you decided to take
I'm
it on.
Numbers.
And we're looking at putting together a t-shirt to be kind of like somebody doing a kung fu jump and it'd say early learning badass on or something like that. So, we're gonna work on putting that together. Okay. And so now you said you testified and who are you testifying in front of? What are you doing? Like from my ear, it sounds like you've been doing a lot of interviews with people because you just sound good at it. What have you been doing? What are the things you've been doing?
Oh boy. Well, you know, we have 13 counties in Vermont. I have set up meetings in many of the counties with local senators. So, you know, we'll get together at a provider's home and invite the senator in. So we've tried to do that in maybe 6 counties. We have early childhood at the legislature for the past 2 years. I've had a booth there. I've testified multiple times. Before Senate and House committees.
What's that like?
Scary.
It's like in the big old building and all the old.
Yeah. It's at the State House. You go in, there's a whole bunch of legislators sitting around a room, and you have to sit in front of them and speak into a microphone for 10 minutes and tell them how you feel. And then they ask questions and then you're done.
I got to tell you, I'll stand up in front of a room of hundreds of people and talk all day long, but I'd wet myself if I had to do that. I think that would be my thing. And so I'm jealous that you can do that because I'm not sure that's in my comfort zone. And was it in yours or did you have to change your comfort zone?
No, I had to change my comfort zone and my face still turns bright red when I have to speak, and I'm sure I still stumble on words. But, you know, your passion shines through when it's something that you feel strongly about.
And you're still doing it, and I think that shouldn't be glossed over. You know, that bumper sticker, I hate sounding like bumper sticker mentality and philosophy, but that speaking your voice, even if your throat
even if
shaking
and
you're still at the end of the day, you still did it, whether you stumbled on a word or, you know, said too many times or whatever, you were still out there doing it. And that I'm applauding you from a distance
thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And now when we were hanging out a few months ago at the ski resort, well, I think it was before the karaoke.
Were you skiing?
Were the skiing? No.
Y'all like no. Were we in the lounge?
I think it was still the off season. They got a deal for the conference there.
I think that's
what the situation was. I think it was before the karaokeing. We were talking a little about karaokeing. I don't know the language.
Singing.
I wrote karaoke. No way.
No, you didn't have quite a minute enough drinks to get up and do that.
You recorded wonderfully, though. The photographer.
Yeah, there was some kick-ass singing going on, too. Seriously. And so before that, we were talking a little bit about this, and it sounded like your batteries were wore down. Are you geared up for this new fight, or are you waiting for somebody else to come in?
My batteries always wear down. It's hard. I have 3 young children of my own. I have my business. Like I said, you know, we all have our things that we do.
You'd probably like to spend some time with your husband once in a while, too, maybe.
I think he, yes. it's really hard. And I've tried to delegate more to providers. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to let go of the control. I'm definitely a type A person. So, you know, there's something really, addictive about that work, though. It's really empowering to sit with a group of, you know, the head of the YMCA and the head of the Burlington Boys and Girls Club and the mayor of Montpelier and to have them all just sing my praises because of the work I've done and to know that I've made a difference.
Well, I mean, getting to appear on the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast has got to be the high point of the whole thing, doesn't it?
Do I get a plaque for my wall for this?
Well, that might be a good idea. At least, maybe not like a real, maybe I could email you a PDF you could print out on your
How about
own.
A certificate?
That's great. I'll take it.
I think the addictive thing, I think, is an
adrenaline
apt thing.
It's
an adrenaline thing. It's a well, hey, I made it through
Look
that thing.
I
did.
Yeah.
I did that.
Excuse us.
Please I'm
hold.
Sorry. I thought
Please
I
hold.
Muted that. That's not going to appear in the actual. Except okay. maybe our going will appear.
Yeah, then it'll be like, what just happened?
I didn't have the outro muted. When we take on that scary thing. And then we think, well, I could do that scary thing, and now I can do this next scary thing. And then we start this cycle where we're more able and
what
even
used
sometimes
to be scary isn't scary
even sometimes
anymore.
Eager to take on mm-hmm. those things more. Is that what you found?
Yeah, well, and people are relying on me now. You know, I've made a name for myself with a lot of groups across the state. You know, if someday I choose to not do family child care, this is all resume building stuff for me.
Well, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And in this profession, you've got to look at that because we're constantly evolving, and what your personal goals and outlooks might be now are going to be different 3 or 4 or 5 years now. And so we need to be mindful of what our experiences and our practice are giving us that we're going to be able to take into those new adventures, huh?
Yeah, couldn't agree more.
Well, you have been another awesome ass-kicking early Hi-ya! Learning professional. Oh, we need that sound effect.
Taking numbers.
You're a dragon slayer. Thanks for joining us, and I'll see you sometime. We're going to be in sometime this. I don't know when we're going to be driving through Vermont area again, but
I'll be there in May.
Oh, Lisa Murphy's going to be
there. I'm graduating from Champlain.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So I'll come walk.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And congratulations to you, too. Keep up that good work.
Thank you.
Great.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for joining us. We'll talk soon.
Sounds good. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Wow.
And this, it's kind of awesome, huh? Mm-hmm. See, it's just, these people are out there, and they're dragon slayers. They're doing the scary thing. And I think it's been fun highlighting them, and I'm hoping that it's been inspirational, I think, for at least one or two people to maybe do that scary thing for themselves, because we can talk about wanting action.
And these folks are doing it.
Yeah. So we can talk about it as much as we want, but having these people out there doing it is just awesome. Congratulations to Elsa and everybody else that's out there becoming an early learning
Hi-ya!
Ass kicker. Now I'm going to have to make that t-shirt. This has been another episode of the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast. Join us next week where we'll talk about something else.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
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 Danita, Lisa, and Jeff would love to hear from you. Leave a message at 888-401-6116 or connect online at facebook.com/childcarebarandgrill.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production. For all your wig, party, and novelty needs, check out ustoys.com. The official wig sponsor of the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast. Hey, if you want to support the show, there's a couple things you can do. You can go to iTunes and give it 5 stars. You can visit and comment on the Child Care Bar and Grill Facebook page. You can share the show with a friend, or you can become a patron and support us at patreon.com/explorations.